This morning, I want to just begin with a word of prayer this morning. First of all, before I pray, I do want to explain the tie. I don't normally wear a tie on Sunday mornings in here at all, on Sundays at all. But my kids got me this shirt and tie for Christmas. So, I mean, I had to sport the colors this morning, all right? So if you see my kids, tell them you like the shirt and tie, even if you don't, all right? So let's pray. God, I don't know what each person in this room came expecting today. I don't know what reason they had to wake up and come to worship here today. That sounds like an odd thing, but as I was sitting here singing and just listening to Josh lead and the guys lead us this morning, and I thought, why do we come here? God, why do we come here week in and week out? What do you want to do with us this morning, God? God, I don't want to ask, what did we come here for, God, anymore? I want us to ask this morning, why do you have us in this room this morning? What do you want to teach each of us this morning? You have us each here for this next little while together. And so God, for whatever walk of life, for whatever background, for whatever situation, for whatever struggle that people walked in this room with today, I don't know. But God, and I don't know why you have each person here, but God, I pray that the message that you have given me and laid upon my heart, God, that I would speak it with boldness, God, and that it would penetrate the hearts of those who need to hear it, God, and it will work in a way in each person's life and minister to each person differently, God, the way that it needs to minister to them. So, God, what do you have us here for these next little while? What do you want to teach us? Awaken us, show us, guide us, lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you, how many of you, I want to ask a question, how many of you have already taken something back that you got for Christmas? Anybody in the room already taken something back that you got for Christmas? There's one brave soul. Yes, she did, all right? All right, many of you may have had presents that you got for Christmas that are the wrong size, wrong shape. Maybe we're the wrong shape or size, wrong size or shape, wrong color, or maybe it's just something you go, I would never in a million years use whatever this thing is that you got me, okay? And so we had one of those instances in our house that somebody in our family got somebody else something, and the other family member just played it off great, and it just went off really well. It's one of those awkward moments where you wonder what everybody's going to say, but it just went really well. We got our kids these remote control cars, and of course, within the first hour, maybe even 45 minutes, Jonathan had broken his, and so we get to take that back. Why they make remote control cars for 9-year-olds that break so easily, I don't know, but they do, so I guess we'll have to buy them again next year. But you probably will be taking things back. You probably have. You've probably gotten something, whether it's at Christmas or another time in your life, that you got a present that you weren't real sure what to do with. I want to share one of those with you this morning. This vase I got for a moving in present when we moved into our house. Now, person doesn't go to church here, so I'm not going to hurt their feelings, okay? And it's actually like a work of art. It has like the person's name in it, and somebody told me that it had some value to it. But can I tell you what this does in our house? That's what it does. If you can't see it over here, yeah, it sits just like that. Except not on the floor. It sits on sometimes a mantle, sometimes in a bathroom, sometimes in other places in our house. But it's amazing that this thing has made it for the last 9 years. Now, you may love this thing. It's your own personal preference. But in our house, this vase really doesn't have much of a purpose. I mean, it's some people would say it's really, really pretty and it's ornate and it's decorative. It's not even, from what I understand from the person who gave it to me, it's not even a vase that you put something in. Now figure that out. It's a vase that you don't put anything in. To me, it's a vase, all right? So this is what you do with it. When I go back home, I'm going to take it back into my house and I'm going to find a countertop and I'm going to put it down. And it's going to stay there. Now, to prove to you that my house is full of Nerf gun wars and all other great things, that it's amazing that this thing has made it 10 years, down inside, I promise you, I did not plant this in here. As I brought this out to Saturday and put it in my car, Nerf gun, okay, Nerf dart, number one. Here is the evidence, okay? Amazing that this thing has made it as long as it has in my house, and it sat upon a mantle or a cabinet or somewhere in my house, and it's just sat there. But then I called a friend of ours, a church member, And I asked him, he's a potter, and this is a really dangerous question to ask somebody who makes art. I said, I need a mistake piece of art. That's not a good thing to ask somebody, okay? I need a piece of art that you messed up on, okay? And so he brought me a piece of art, a bowl, a pot, that he actually put into the kiln, the wrong kiln. I didn't know there was like two kilns or one temperature or whatever. He put it in the wrong temperature first, and so it's got all these bubbles and these cracks in it. And it doesn't sit level, and actually if you look at it, the top of it's not level. But if you were to take this to my house, and you were to put this in my house, I just got this the other day from him. If you were to take this in my house, this bowl would actually be really helpful around my house. Okay? Now, in your house, it may be used for some other things, but in my house, I would probably take it and I would put it on a countertop, and it would probably either collect fruit. Okay? You could put fruit in here. You may decide that you want to put your keys in it. Okay? Which is probably where it would end up in our house, with keys and change and things that I confiscate from my sons, pocket knives and all those great things. It would probably pile up in here, and we would put all those things in there. And some of you may say, you know what? I think I'd take that home, and I think I'd put a plant in it. I may put it on my back porch, and or I may put it on my kitchen table and put a plant in it. I mean, it's you know, it's got some blemishes, it's got some faults, but you know what? It's usable. And that's what I like about when I look at these two things. I mean, that vase for the last 10 years has done that. And that's all it's ever going to do. It's never going to have anything in it. It's just going to sit there. But this, the moment I take it home, it's quickly going to begin to collect things. It's quickly going to be used. And we'll make use of this thing at our house. Now, as I was preparing for the Sunday after Christmas, it's one of those Sundays that as a pastor is kind of a Sunday that's a little awkward because everybody expects you to like follow up with a Christmas sermon to kind of, you know, help everybody because we're all kind of recovering from Christmas and you're all kind of dazed this morning. But I don't have one of those sermons for you because I really feel like God has led me to ask you some questions today as we look towards 2010. And here's where I want us to begin and end today. Paul's going to show us in a few minutes, and Scripture's going to show us, that we are designed by God to be one of these. We are designed by God to be one of these. A clay pot, an earthen vessel that we're going to look at in just a few minutes that is functioning, that is usable. But my fear is that for many of us, and even as the church in general, that for many of us and the church in general is this. And it's nice and it's pretty and people drive by it and they look and they go, oh, well, that's a nice building and I bet there's nice people in there. But many of us, and the church included at times, we never become a fully functioning clay pot ready and willing to be used by God. And I want us to look at this past year, but also looking ahead at this next year. But what does God want to do with us? And so I want us to begin and end with some of the same questions. And they are the question is this: are you a clay pot ready to be used by God? Okay, so we're gonna come back to that question. Are you a clay pot ready to be put into action by God? Are you ready to be a pot like this, ready to be shaped, ready to be molded, ready to be used by whatever God wants you to do? Or do you say, you know, I'd rather not be used by God. I'd rather be put up on a shelf. I'd rather be a vase, nice and pretty and decorative, and say that I'm a Christian, and I'd rather be put up on a shelf and just leave it right there for people to look at. The Apostle Paul is going to tell us that that really is not an option, but many of us as believers have taken it. But the Apostle Paul is going to really confront us, and I hope Scripture does that for each of us in our lives this morning. If you've got your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to get to this passage of Scripture in just a minute, but I want to tell you what's taking place up till now. Paul is coming to this passage of Scripture, and he's writing to the Corinthian church. He's trying to encourage them. He's trying to give them just direction and help them understand that they're going to face some difficulties. They're going to face trials and continue to preach the message, continue to share the message of Jesus Christ. And at the end of chapter 3, verse 18, he says this: "And we, who with unveiled face all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And so as we come to this next passage, we have to understand, we've talked about these verses not long ago, but that as we trust in Christ, as we put our relationship and our faith in Christ, that He begins to transform us and change us and redirect our lives and redirect our attention and redirect our desires, and He begins to shape us into something completely different. And so now as we come to this next passage, I want us to see this. And again, this is aimed at those who are believers in church, those who are the Corinthian church. So this is really aimed at those of us who have attended church or have been a part of church, the established church. Read this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Therefore, first of all, referencing the last chapter, and the therefore is referencing, since we have been transformed and changed by God, since that has happened to us, now we are ready to be used by God because of His mercy. And it says, therefore, since God's mercy, we have this ministry. What ministry? This ministry that we're going to talk about over these next few ministry. This ministry of preaching the gospel, of telling others about Christ, and of Him changing their lives. This ministry. We have this ministry of transformation that we're supposed to be doing. So I want us to be challenged this morning, as I've been this week, as I read through this passage. The first thing I want us to see is we should be ready to serve. We should be ready to be used by God because of His mercy on us. We should be ready to be used by God because of His mercy on us. And I want to make sure we understand these words that Paul's using when he says the word mercy. About 6 months ago, I shared with you, to me, one of the simplest definitions of mercy that I've ever heard. It was given to us by one of our friends of our family, and it was a young girl, she's 13 years old, and we were sitting around talking one day, and we were talking about mercy, and she said, well, I'll tell you what mercy is. I've shared this with you before. Mercy is getting chocolate cake when you deserve a spanking. Think about that for a minute. That's mercy. When you deserve a spanking, or you deserve discipline, however that happens in your house, and you get a present or a chocolate cake instead, that's mercy from your parent. That's a parent saying, hey, I know what you deserve, and I know that what you've done, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to give you what you do not deserve in this case. I'm going to show you mercy. I'm going to give you what you do not deserve. So I want us to see that, and as we read this passage of Scripture, he says, therefore, since God's mercy, we have this ministry. Do not lose heart. What mercy did God show us? This is kind of hard for us to swallow, sometimes hard to hear, but this is the mercy that God showed you and I. Scripture tells us that because of our sin, the payment of our sin is death. So at the end of this earth, the end of this life, we deserve death. And not only death, but eternal separation from God in a place that Scripture defines and calls hell, in a place that none of us would want to be, none of us want to exist, none of us want to see anybody that we love. But there is this view, there is this line here that God says, because of God's mercy, because God decided and paid and offered a sacrifice and offered a substitution, and that was Jesus Christ. He offered Jesus Christ as a payment for our sins, and He offered Him as an act of mercy because of God's grace. And Scripture tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God knew we deserved death, but He chose to give us life. It's mercy. You didn't deserve it. You couldn't have done enough good things for it. He showed you and continues to show you mercy. Now, because of that mercy, we now have the opportunity to serve Him and to serve others. Now, sometimes in church, the word serving, it seems like a bad word. It seems like nobody wants to talk about it. It seems like something that everybody kind of shies away from. Warren Wiersbe says this, if you look on serving Christ as a burden instead of a privilege, you will be a drudge and do only what is required of you. Some people even look on service as a punishment from God. I've heard people in church, this church, that have said, I have to serve. You mean I have to go out and go buy food so I can be a part of this Hope Lives thing? I have to do that? No. You get to do that. You have the opportunity to do that because of the service and the mercy that God has shown you. You and I have that opportunity. But he goes on to talk in these latter verses in verse 5 and 6. Let me read these for you. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. One of the things as I read through this is we should be ready to be light in the world that we live in because of the darkness that surrounds us. Last Friday, anybody remember what happened last Friday? Yeah, it snowed. And you know what happens when it snows at the grocery store, right? We run out of what? I don't know how many of you have too many loaves of bread at home, but some of you do, okay? You can repent of that later because I didn't get any that day because I went that Friday and I had a long list. See, I'd been out of town for 2.5 weeks and we had major kid grocery shopping, everything put back in our house shopping to do. Not just a couple things, everything. And so I, being the great, wonderful husband that I am, volunteered for this task on Friday in the line of snow coming our way. And so instead of taking like 45 minutes to grocery shop, because man, I can go through a grocery store. Let me tell you, I'm expensive, but I can go through a grocery store. And I went to the beloved Walmart. Okay. And I went to the beloved Walmart and I was there not for 45 minutes. I was there for 2 hours. Okay. That is painful for me to even say that I spent 2 hours of one day in my life at Walmart. Okay. But I spent 2 hours in Walmart. And can I just tell you, there were several moments where people were ramming my cart and people were like grabbing for the last this and the last that, like the world was coming to an end on 3 inches of snow. But you know, that's what we do. And so I'm getting to the point of like frustration. I'm getting to the point where I'm just ready to like just explode on somebody, you know, there at Walmart. I'm just ready to just go off on somebody. And lo and behold, here comes a church member. So I calm down and I get back to myself and, you know, talk and, you know, do the preacher thing and do the nice, you know, I'm a light, you know. And then a few minutes later, I'm going through the store. I'm just telling you like it is, okay? I'm just confessing. And I'm going through the store and somebody else is rude and they're, you know, moving your cart and da da da, and I'm about ready to lose my light again. And all of a sudden, here comes another church member. I met 15 church members in Walmart in one day. Okay? No wonder the offering was down, okay? Because you spend it all at Walmart, all right? And so here I am, and I'm in Walmart, and I finally get in the line, and I'm talking to a church member that's in front of me in line, and she and I have a conversation. And as I'm leaving, and I read through this passage of Scripture, and I just remember that day, and I remember texting my wife, and I said, I didn't kill anybody, and nobody killed me. It was a success. I made it through. But the sad part is how many opportunities in that frustrating day where everybody else in that store was as frustrated as I was, how many opportunities did I miss to be a light? I mean, how many opportunities did I miss that day in that crazy period of time? Did I miss having the opportunity to say, you know, it's crazy in here. Christmas is coming. Merry Christmas. You know, to remain patient, to remain calm. But no, me and my life, here's the way I was living my life in this moment. I kind of had my blinders on. I was going through the store and I was grabbing stuff. I didn't want to see anybody. I had a hat on. I was like incognito. All right, grabbing stuff. I wanted to get in there as quick as possible. But I was in there for 2 hours. And you know what? I believe many of us live our lives like that. We live our lives going through life going, you know, I hope I don't have to share the light of Jesus. I hope I don't have to tell that person about Jesus. And if I do, maybe I can say it really quick and people will leave me alone. Or, you know, maybe my family member, maybe they won't ask this Christmas why I continue to go to church. Maybe they'll just leave it alone. And we live our lives kind of going through life going, man, I hope they don't ask me about my faith. I hope they don't ask me why I'm different. I hope they don't ask me why I've changed. And listen to this passage of Scripture. You guys, we can't live like this. We cannot live like this as believers. Listen to what he says. For God who said, now listen to this, okay? Genesis, goes back to Genesis. Let light shine out of darkness. Okay? Big moment in the course of history of the world. Okay, just in case you know that. Light entered the world when God said, let there be light. And Paul is saying here, for God who said, the same God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts. Are you kidding me? Are you absolutely, this can't be right, Pastor. This can't be right, Paul. You've got to have a mistake here. For God who said, let light come out of darkness, made his light shine in our heart to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. You mean the same God who spoke light into existence, put light into my heart through the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is? If this doesn't blow you away that that's happened in your life, something is not connecting in your life. Something is not connecting in your faith this morning. If that doesn't absolutely blow your mind and boggle your spiritual thoughts and say, the same God who spoke light into existence now spoke light into my heart to the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ? Wow. And we live our lives, I live my life some days ho-hum and thinking, I can't make it through the day. I can't exist. Maybe I can't share my faith in this situation because I'm not sure what they're going to say. Maybe I can't take a stand for this different type of morality that nobody else will choose. Maybe because I'm scared of what's going to happen. The light of God lives in you by the same God who spoke light into existence. Why in the world are we afraid? And what's there to be afraid of? What's there to step back from? The same God who let light shine out of darkness made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. You and I should be ready at every opportunity. I should be ready at every opportunity to share the love of Christ, the light of Christ that exists in me. Paul goes on. If that's not enough for us, in verse 7 he says this, "For we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." See, there's an important phrase there. We have this treasure. This treasure, okay, is the knowledge and the relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the treasure. That's the gift that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. That's what you have inside of you. This treasure. But notice what he says. This treasure in jars of clay. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, but we have this treasure in a nice, pretty vase to be displayed for all to see. And for all to take notice of Michael Bowers, the pastor, we have this treasure stored up in this beautiful vase that is known and people look at and display and honor and put on their shelves and say, wow, I'd like one of those. No, he says, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, a clay pot, a jar of clay. And listen to this. This clay pot, it's ready to be used. This clay pot, if need be, it can be broken. This clay pot, if need be, it can be redesigned. This clay pot, if it needs to hold something, it can hold something. If it needs to be set over here for this purpose, it can be set over here for this purpose. And as Paul tells us this, he says, listen, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show us. We have, listen to this. Every single person in here, whether you want to be a clay pot, you are. Nobody in here is a vase. You might think you are, but you're not. You're really one of these. But don't think light of yourself. Don't think that that's not very significant, because it says this. It says, inside of this clay jar known as my body, your body, inside of me is a treasure, and it is the message, and it is the hope, and it is the joy, and it is the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ living in our lives. That is inside each and every one of us. Will you be used, though? Will you use that treasure? Will you share that treasure? Not so you can gain recognition, because it goes on to say the reason why God chose to use clay pots like you and I is so that when He does something, He gets the credit, not me. So that when He does something, people don't look and say, oh, well, He did that. Oh, well, that person's so talented. Well, oh, no. He did that so people would go, oh, who created that pot? Who's the maker? Who's the potter? God, the same one who spoke light out of darkness, is the one who put light into our hearts with the knowledge, the grace of Jesus Christ. Paul says, jars of clay. as I think about our church, there's some things this year, you guys, I've been so proud of you. I've been proud of you as individuals and some things that you've done. We took part in Hope Lives and just saw some incredible things take place through that. We took part in our offering of hope, and I got some even more exciting things to share with you next week about that. But just some incredible things that have taken place where I've seen many of you say, you know what, I'm going to be a clay pot this year. I'm just going to be, whatever God wants to use me for this year, I'm going to be used. But my desire is for us not to say, hey, we had a pretty good year. We saw 25, 26 people come to Christ this year. We saw them be baptized. We had Hope Lives. We, you know, did great on our budget. We paid some of our debt off. We helped some community agencies. We did some fantastic things. Let's just take this year off. Let's just put the church up on a pedestal and on a vase for a while. No. Clay pot. But he says, hey, it's going to get difficult. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the light of Jesus may be revealed in our body. You see, through your difficulties and through your struggles in life right now, being hard pressed, but not destroyed, crushed, but not abandoned, through those things, do you realize that God is drawing others to Him, not to you, because you're willing to say, I'll be a clay pot, not a vase. I'll be willing this year to be used by Him. Let's pray. I don't know what we each came here for, but God, I pray that we've been listening. I hope we've been listening. Not to my words, because they're flawed. And God, they may not be put together in the right structure. But God, this morning, what do you want to do with all these clay pots in this room? What do you want to do this coming year with the marriages in this room that are clay pots? What do you want to do with those who are single in this room that are clay pots? What do you want to do with the young families in this room that are clay pots? What do you want to do with those whose children have grown that are clay pots? What do you want to do with those who face divorce that are clay pots? What do you want to do with those who have musical abilities that are clay pots? What do you want to do with those, God, who don't have any abilities that are seen on a stage or seen out in front? What do you want to do with those clay pots this year? God, what are you going to do with the clay pots that volunteer to drive parking lot and minister to others? God, what are you going to do with these clay pots? What do you want to do with all these clay pots in this room? Meaning, what do you want to do with all these individuals in this room who want to do and be used by you? What do you want to do? God, I pray in each person's life that has a relationship with you in this room, God, that has said, I have sinned and I need to repent, I need to change, and God, you have changed them, you're rearranging their life every single day, and God, there's a part of them right now that says, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to be used, God? I don't want to be a vase anymore who sits, who looks nice, who carries the name Christian. I want to be a pot full of the treasure and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I want to share it. I want to shine. I want this ministry of mercy. If you're here this morning, and I'm not doing this for show, you don't look around, anybody around you, don't try to figure out if somebody else around you is raising their hand, but this morning, if you want to be used by God this coming year, in whatever He wants you to do, very important there, not what you want to do, but what He wants to do. Would you raise your hand this morning? Nobody looking, not trying to figure out if your spouse or your friend has their hand out. You put your hand down. God, I pray for those who have raised their hand. I pray for those who raised their hand and said, I want to be used by you, God. And God, if that is the truth, if that's not just, you know, the pastor asked for it, so I raised my hand. If that's really what's going on in the heart of the people in this room this morning, as it was at 9:30, as it was at 10:50, if that's really what's going on in this place, God, what do you want to use us to do in this community? We know the message. The message is that of Jesus Christ. And to make him known and to make his name known to those who do not know it. That is our message. But God, how do you want each of us to be a part of that? I have no idea. But God, I know there are people in this room that have gifts and abilities, but each of us that have trusted in you have been shown the mercy. And God, we have this ministry. So God, during this invitation, may we respond to you. May we kneel to you. May we pray to you. May we seek your direction, God, and not just with the normal sing through the song, go home. God, what do you want to do with us this morning? What do you want us to hear? What do you want us to do when we leave this place as a clay pot today?